the dwellers of the boundaries and their names in the Cree Indian language. Muswa, underscore the moose underscore. Protector of the boy. Musqua, underscore the bear underscore. Black fox, underscore king of the boundaries underscore. The red widow, underscore black fox's mother underscore. Cross stripes, underscore black fox's baby brother underscore. Roth, underscore the blue wolf underscore. Leader of the gray wolf pack. Karkaju, underscore the wolverine underscore. Lieutenant to black king, and known as the devil of the woods. Pew, underscore the lynx underscore. Possessed of the cat-like treachery. Yumisk, underscore the beaver underscore. Known for his honest industry. Wapus, underscore the rabbit underscore, really a hare. The meat food for man and beast in the boundaries. Wapistan, underscore the marten underscore. With fur like the sable. Nekeek, underscore the otter underscore. An eater of fish. Sakwaso, underscore the mink underscore. Would sell his mother for a fish. Wachusk, underscore the muskrat underscore. A houseless vagabond who admired Yumisk, the beaver. Seacock, underscore the skunk underscore. A chap to be avoided, and who broke up the party at Nekeek's slide. Wenusk, underscore the badger underscore. Wichok, underscore the fisher underscore. Whiskey Jack, underscore the Canada J underscore. A sharp-tongued gossip. Cougar, eagle, buffalo, ant, and caribou. Wisakhechak. Legendary god of the Indians, who could change himself into an animal at will. Francois, underscore French half-breed trapper underscore. Nichimus, underscore half-breed hunter who tried to kill Musqua underscore. Trappers, half-breeds, and train dogs. Rod, underscore the boy underscore. Son of Donald McGregor, formerly factor to Hudson's Bay Company at Fort Resolution. When Rod was a little chap, Musqua had been brought into Fort Resolution as a calf, his mother having been killed, and they became playmates. Then McGregor was moved to Edmonton, and Rod was brought up in civilization until he was 14, when he got permission to go back to the Athabasca for a winter's trapping with Francois, who was an old servant of the factor's. This story is of that winter. Musqua had been turned loose in the forest by factor McGregor when leaving the fort. The boundaries. The great spruce forests and muskeg lands lying between the Saskatchewan River, the Arctic Ocean, and the Rocky Mountains being the home of the fur-bearing animals choosing the king. The short, hot summer, with its long drawn-out days full of coaxing sunshine, had ripened nature's harvest of purple bell peavine, and yellow-blossomed gaillardia, and tall straight-growing mooseweed, had turned the heart-shaped leaves of the poplars into new sovereigns that fell with softened clink from the branches to earth, waiting for its brilliant mantle a fairy mantle all splashed blood red by crimson maple woven in a woof of tawny bunchgrass and lace-fronded fern. Oh, but it was beautiful. That land of the boundaries, where Black Fox was king, and which stretched from the Saskatchewan to where the Peace first bounded in splashing leaps from the boulder-lined foothills of the Rockies, all beautiful, spruce-forested, and muskeg dotted the soft muskegs knee-deep under a moss carpet of silver and green. The Saskatoons, big brother to the huckleberry, were drying on the bush where they had ripened. The raspberries had grown red in their time and gladdened the heart of Musqua, the bear. The currants clustered like strings of black pearls in the cool beds of lazy streams, where pintailed grouse, and pheasant in big, red cravat, strutted and crooked in this glorious feeding ground so like a miniature vineyard. The cranberries nestled shyly in the moss, and the wolf and willow berries gleamed like tiny white stars along the banks of the swift-running, emerald-green Saskatchewan and Athabasca. All this was in the heritage land of Black Fox, and Musqua, and Moosewa. It was at this time, in the full autumn, that Whiskey Jack flew north and south, and east and west, and called to a meeting the dwellers that were in the boundaries. This was for the choosing of their king, a yearly observance, and for the settling of other matters. When they had gathered, Black Fox greeted the animals, dash. Good year to you, subjects, and much eating, each unto his own way of life. Whiskey Jack preened his mischievous head, ruffled his blue-gray feathers, broke into the harsh, cackling laugh of the jay, and sneered, eating. Always of eating, and never a more beautiful song to you, or less thieving to you, eh, Mr. Jay, growled Musqua. You who come by your eating easily have it not so heavily on your mind as we toilers. Well, let me see, continued Black Fox, with reflective dignity, here ye have all assembled, for form's sake I will call your names. From Musqua to Wapus each one of the dwellers as his name was spoken stepped forward in the circle and saluted the king. Jack has been a faithful messenger, said Black King, but where are cougar, and buffalo, and eagle? They had notice. Thank you, Majesty, for your praise. Cougar says the mountain is his king, and that he wouldn't trust himself among a lot of plain dwellers. He's a highway robber and an outlaw, anyway, so it doesn't matter, asserted Karkajou. You wouldn't talk that way if he were at your throat, my fat little friend, lisped Whiskey Jack. Buffalo is afraid of man, and won't come. Nearly all his brothers have been killed off, and he is hiding in the spruce woods near Athabasca Lake. I saw a herd of them last summer, declared Muswa. Fine big fellows they have grown to be, too. Their hair is longer, and blacker, and curlier than it was when they were on the plains. There's no more than 50 of them left alive in all the North Woods. It's awful to think of how they were slaughtered. That's why I stick to the timber boundaries. Eagle won't come, Your Majesty, because Jay's chatter makes his head ache, declared Karkajou. Blame me, cried Whiskey Jack, if anybody doesn't turn up at the meeting say it's my fault, I don't mind. You know why we meet as usual? Queried Black Fox, placing his big white tipped brush affectedly about his feet. That they do, piped Whiskey Jack, it's because they're afraid of losing their hides. I'm not nobody tries to rob me. Worthless gabbler, growled Musqua. Jack is right, declared Black Fox, if we do not help each other with the things we have learned, our warm coats will soon be on the shoulders of the white men's wives. Is that why the men are always chasing us? Asked Beaver, turning his sharp pointed head with the little bead eyes toward the king. Not in your case, snapped Whiskey Jack, for they eat you, old fat tail. I heard the two white men who camped on our river last winter say that your brother, whom they caught when they raided your little round lodge, tasted like beefsteak, whatever that is. He. And Francois the guide ate his tail and said it was equal to fat bacon. Unthinking wretch! Cried Eumus angrily, bringing his broad tail down on a stone like the crack of a pistol. I picked his bones, taunted the jay, he was dead, and cooked too, so it didn't matter. Cannibal! Grunted Bear. They eat you also, Musqua, only when they're very hungry though, they say your flesh is like bad pork, strong and tough. Black Fox interrupted the discord. Comrades, he pleaded, don't mind Jack, he's only a jay, and you know what chatterers they are. He means well, does he not tell us when the trappers are coming, and where the traps are? Yes, and steal the bait so you won't get caught, added Jay. Oh, I am good, I help you. You are a lot of crawling fools all but the king. You can run, and fight, but you don't know things. That's because you don't associate with man, and sit in his camp as I do. I've been in his camp, asserted Karkajou, picking up a small stone slyly to shy at Jack. Not when he was home, retorted the jay, you sneaked in to steal when he was away. Stop! Commanded the king, angrily. Your chatter spoils everything, do stop. Whiskey Jack spread his feathers till he looked like a woolen ball, and subsided. This is the end of the year, continued Black Fox, and the great question is, are you satisfied with the rule, is it good? Wolverine spoke, I have been lieutenant to the Black King for 4 years, I am satisfied. When our enemies, the trappers, have tried to catch us by new wiles, His Majesty has told us how to escape. Did he, always? Demanded the bird. Who knew of the little white powder that Francois put in the meat, the white medicine powder he had in a bottle? Neither you, Karkajou, nor Black King, nor anyone tasted that, did you? Even now you do not know the name of it, but I can tell you it's strychnine. Ha, ha. But that was funny. They put it out, and I, Whiskey Jack, whom you call a tramp, told you. I, Jack the Gabbler, flew till my wings were tired warning you to beware. You might have saved yourself the trouble, retorted Wolverine, Black King would have found it with his nose. Can he not tell even if any man has touched the meat that is always obeyed? Stupid! Exclaimed Jack, do you think the men are such fools? They handle not the bait which is put in the traps, they know that all the brains you chaps have are in your noses. Catch Francois, the half-breed, doing that, he's too clever. He cuts it with a long knife, and handles it with a stick. The little white powder that is the essence of death is put in a hole in the meat. I know, I've seen them at it. Haven't their trained dogs noses also, and didn't two of them that time eat the bait, and die before they had traveled the length of a rabbit run? I saw them, they grew stiff and quiet, like the white man who fell in the snow last winter when he was lost. But I'm satisfied with Black Fox, and you can be his lieutenant, I don't care. Yes, continued Karkajou, who among us is more fitted to be king? Musqua is strong, and big, and brave, but soon he will go into his house, and sleep until spring. What would become of us with no king for months? Yes, I'm sleepy, answered Bear and tired. I've tramped up and down the banks of the river eating white buffalo berries and red cranberries until I'm weary. They are so small, and I am so big, it keeps me busy all day. You've got stout on it, chuckled Jack. I wish I could get fat. You talk too much, and fret yourself to death over other people's business, growled Bear. You're a meddling tramp. Musqua, said Mink, there are bushels and bushels of big, juicy, black currants up in the muskeg, near the creek I fish in. I wish I could eat them. Swimming, swimming all day after little frightened fish, that are getting so cunning. Why, they hide under sticks, and get up in shallow water among the stones, so that I can hardly see them. It must be pleasant to sit up on your quarters, nice and dry, pull down the bushes and eat great, juicy berries. I wish I lived on fruit. No you don't, snarled Jay, you'd sell your mother for a fish. If you're quite through wrangling, interrupted Wolverine, I'll go on talking about the king. Who is better suited than Black Fox? Is it Musqua? He would make a very magnificent looking king. See his great horns. He would protect us just now, but do you not know that in the spring they will drop off, and our comrade will be like a man without hands all summer? Why, even his own wife won't look at him while he is in that condition. Then the young horns come out soft and pulpy, all covered with velvet, and until they get hard again are tender, and he's afraid to strike anything with them. You see, we must have somebody that is king all the year round. Why, Musqua couldn't tell us about the bait, he can't put his nose to the ground, he can't even eat grass, because of his short neck. I wish I could, sighed the moose. I get tired of the purple-headed moose weed, and the leaves and twigs. The young grass looks so sweet and fresh. But Carcajou is right, I was made this way I don't know why, though. No, you weren't. Objected Whiskey Jack, you're such a lordly chap when you get your horns in good order, and have gone around so much with that big nose stuck up in the air, that you've just got into that shape I've seen men like you. The Hudson's Bay Factor, at Slave Lake, is just your sort. Bah. I don't want you for a king. The bull moose waved his tasseled beard back and forth angrily, and stamped a sharp, powerful forefoot on the ground like a trip hammer. Black Fox interfered again. Why do you make everybody angry, you silly bird? He said to the jay. Do you learn this bitter talk from listening to your men friends while you are waiting for their scraps? Perhaps so, I learn many things from them, and you learn from me. But go on, bully Carcajou. Tell us all why we're not fit to be kings. Perhaps Ruff, there, would like to hear of his failings. I don't want to be king, growled Ruff, the big blue wolf, surlily. No, your manners are against you, sneered Jack, you'd do better as executioner. Well, commenced Carcajou, taking up the challenge, to tell you the truth, we're all just a little afraid of Ruff. We don't want a despotic ruler if we can help it. I don't wish to hurt his feelings, but when Blue Wolf got hungry his subjects might suffer. I don't want him for king, piped Mink. His jaws are too strong and his legs too long. Oh, I couldn't stay here, declared Blue Wolf, and manage things for you fellows. Next month I'm going away down below Grand Rapids. My brother has been hunting there with a pack of 20 good fellows, and says the rabbits are so thick that he's actually getting fat, and Wolf licked his steel jaws with a hungry movement that made them all shudder. His big lolling tongue looked like a firebrand. You needn't fret, squeaked Jay, we don't want you. We don't want a rowdy ruler. I saw you fighting with the train dogs over at Wapisco last winter. You're as disgraceful as any domestic cur. Now, Pew began Carcajou. As he mentioned the lynx's name, a smile went round the meeting. Whiskey Jack took a fit of chuckling laughter, until he fell off his perch. This made him cranky in an instant. Of all the silly sneaks! He exclaimed scornfully, as he fluttered up on a small jackpine, and stuck out his ruffled breast. That spear-eared creature for king. Oh, my. Oh, my. That's too rich. He'd have you all catching rabbits for him to eat. Kings are great gourmands, I know, but they don't eat field mice, and frogs, and snails, and trash of that sort not raw, anyway. Carcajou proceeded more gravely with his objection. As I said before, this is purely a matter of business with us, and anything I say must not be taken as a personal affront. Of course not, interrupted Jack. Go on with your candid observations, humpback. We all know our friend's weakness for perfume, continued Wolverine. Do you call castoreum a perfume? Questioned Whiskey Jack. It's a vile, diabolical stink, that's what it is. Why, the trappers won't keep it in their shacks, it smells so bad, they bury it outside. Nobody but a gaunt, brainless creature, like the cat there, would risk his neck for a whiff of that horrible smelling stuff. Order. Commanded Black King, you get so personal, Jack. You know that our comrade, Beaver, furnishes the castorium, don't you?
Yes, I know, and he ought to be ashamed of it.
It's not my fault, declared Umisk. Your friends, the cruel trappers, don't get it from us till we're dead.
Well, never mind about that, objected Karkajou. We know, and the trappers know, that Lynx is the easiest caught of all our fellows. If he were our king they'd snare him in a week, then we'd be without a ruler. We must have someone that not only can take care of us, but of himself too.
Pew can't do that, he can't take care of his own family, twittered Jay. His big furry feet make a trail in the snow like panthers, and then when you come up to him, he's just a great starved cat, with less brains than a tadpole.
Karkajou suddenly reared on his hindquarters and let fly the stone with his short, strong, right arm at the bird.
Evil chatterer! He exclaimed angrily, you are always making mischief. Jack hopped nimbly to one side, cocked his saucy silvered head downward, and piped, proceed with the meeting, the prince of all mischief makers, Karkajou, the devil of the woods, lectures us on morality.
Yes, let us proceed with the discussion, commanded Black Fox.
Brothers, said the moose, in a voice that was strangely plaintive, coming from such a big, deep throat, I am satisfied with Black Fox for king, but if anything were to happen requiring us to choose another, one of almost equal wisdom, I should like to nominate Beaver. We know that when the world was destroyed by the great flood, and there was nothing but water, that Umisk took a little mud, made it into a ball with his handy tail, and the ball grew, and they built it up until it became dry land again. Visahoshak has told us all about that. I have traveled from the Athabasca across Peace River, and up to the foothills of the big mountains, to the headwaters of the Smoky, and have seen much of Brother Umisk's clever work, and careful, cautious way of life. I never heard anyone say a word against his honesty.
That's something, interrupted Jay, that's more than can be said for many of us.
The big melancholy eyes of the moose simply blinked solemnly, and he proceeded, Brother Umisk has constructed dams across streams, and turned miles of forest into rich, moist muskeg, where the loveliest long grasses grow most delicious eating. These dams are like the great hard roads you have seen the white men cut through our country to pull their stupid carts over. I can cross the softest muskeg on one and my sharp hoofs hardly bury to the fetlock. Is that not work worthy of an animal king? And he has more forethought, more care for the winter, than any of us. Some of you have seen his stock of food.
I have, eagerly interrupted Nekiik, the otter.
And I, said Fisher.
I too, Muswa, cried Mink.
I have seen it, quoth Muskrat, it's just beautiful.
You tell them about Umisk's food supply, Brother Muskrat, commanded the moose. I can't dive under the water like you and see it ready stored, but I have observed the trees cut down by his chisel teeth.
You make me blush, remonstrated Beaver, modestly.
Beautiful white poplar trees, went on Muswa, and always cut so they fall just on the edge of the stream. Is that not clever for one of us? Man can't do it every time.
Trowel tail only cuts the leaning trees, that's why, explained Whiskey Jack.
Muswa was too haughty to notice the interruption, but continued his laudation of Beaver's cunning work.
Then our brother Umisk cuts the poplar into pieces the length of my leg, and, while I think of it, I'd like to ask him why he leaves on the end of each stick a piece like the handle of a rolling pin.
What's a rolling pin? Gasped Jay.
Something the cook throws at your head when you're trying to steal his dinner, interjected Karkajou.
Lynx laughed maliciously at this thrust.
Isn't Wolverine a witty chap? He said, fawningly, to Blue Wolf.
I know what that cunning little end is for, declared Muskrat. I'll tell you what Beaver does with the sticks underwater, and then you'll understand.
Black King yawned as though all this bored him.
He doesn't like to hear his rival praised, sneered Whiskey Jack, it makes him sleepy.
Well, continued Wachusk, Beaver floats the poplar down to his pond, to a little place just upstream from his lodge, with a nice, soft bottom. There he dives swiftly with each piece, and the small round end you speak of, Muswa, sticks in the mud, see?
Oh, it is clever, I wish I could do it, but I can't. I have to rummage around all winter for my dinner.
All the sticks stand there close together on end, the ice forms on top of the water, and nobody can see them.
When Umisk wants his dinner, he swims up the pond, selects a nice, fat, juicy poplar, pulls it out of the mud, floats it in the front door of his pretty, round-roofed lodge, strips off the rough covering, and eats the white, mealy inner bark. It's delicious. No wonder Beaver is fat.
I should think it would be indigestible,
said Lynx. But isn't Yumus kind to his family, dear little chap?
Must be hard on the teeth, remarked Mink. I find fish bones tough enough.
Oh, it's just lovely, sighed Beaver. I like it.
What do you do with the logs after you've eaten the crust? Asked Black King, pretending to be interested.
Float them down against the dam, answered Beaver. They come in handy for repairing breaks.
What breaks the dam? Mumbled Blue Wolf, gruffly.
I know, screamed Jay, the trappers. I saw Francois knock a hole in one last winter. That's how he caught your cousins, Yumisk, when they rushed to fix the break.
How do you know when it's damaged, Beaver? Queried Muswa. Supposing it was done when you were asleep, you don't make your bed in the water, I suppose.
No, we have a nice, dry shelf all around on the inside of the lodge, just above, we call it the second story, but we keep our tails in the water always, so as soon as it commences to lower we feel it, you know.
That is wise, gravely assented Muswa. Have I not said that Yumisk is almost as clever as our king?
He may be, chirruped Jay, but Francois never caught the Black King, and he catches many beaver. Last winter he took out a pack of their thick, brown coats, and I heard him say there were 50 pelts in it.
That's just it, concurred Carcajou. I admire Yumisk as much as anybody. He's an honest, hard-working little chap, and looks after his family and relations better than any of us, but if there was any trouble on we couldn't consult him, for at the first crack of a fire stick, or bark of a trained dog, he's down under the water, and either hidden away in his lodge, or in one of the many hiding holes he has dug in the banks for just such emergencies. We must have someone who can get about and warn us all.
I object to him because he's got fleas, declared Jay, solemnly.
Fleas! A chorus of voices exclaimed in indignant protest.
The coyote, who had been digging viciously at the back of his ear with a sharp clawed foot, dropped his leg, got up, and stretched himself, with a yawn, hoping that nobody had observed his petulant scratching.
That's silly, declared Muswa. A chap that lives under the water have fleas?
Is it? Piped Whiskey Jack. What's his thick fur coat, with the strong, blackguard hairs for? Do you suppose that doesn't keep his hide dry? If one of you land dwellers were out in a stiff shower you'd be wet to the skin, but he won't, though he stay underwater a month. If he hasn't got fleas, what is that double nail on his left hind foot for?
Perhaps he hasn't got a split nail, ventured Fisher. I haven't.
Nor I, declared Mink. My nails are all single, asserted Muskrat.
Look for yourselves if you don't believe me, commanded Jack. If he hasn't got it, I'll take back what I said, and you can make him king if you wish.
This made Black Fox nervous. Will you show our comrades your toes, please? He commanded Beaver, with great politeness.
Yumisk held up his foot deprecatingly. There, sure enough, on the second toe, was a long, black, double claw, like a tiny pincers.
What did I tell you? Shrieked Jack. He can pin a flea with it as easily as Mink seizes a wriggling trout.
He's got half a dozen different kinds of fleas, has Yumisk. I won't have a king who is little better than a bug nursery. A king must be above that sort of thing.
This is all nonsense, exclaimed Carcajou angrily, for he had fleas himself. It's got nothing to do with the matter.
Yumisk has to live under the ice nearly all winter, and would be of no more service to us than Muskwa. That's the real objection.
My! Cried Beaver, patting the ground irritably with his trowel tail, one really never knows just how vile he is till he gets running for office. Besides, I don't want to be king, I'm too busy. Perhaps sometime when I was here governing the council, Francois, or another enemy, would break my dam and murder the whole family. Besides, it's too dusty out here. I like the nice, clean water. My feet get sore walking on the land.
Oh, he doesn't want to be king, declared Jay, ironically.
Next. Next. Who else is there, frog-legged Carcajou?
Well, there's Muskrat, suggested Lynx. I like him.
Yes, to eat, interrupted Whiskey Jack. If Wachusk were king, we'd come home someday and find that he'd been eaten by one of his own subjects, by the sneaking Lynx Slink it should be.
You shouldn't say that, declared Black Fox, because you're our mail carrier you shouldn't take so many liberties.
I'm only telling the truth. It has always been the custom at these meetings for each one to speak just what he thought, and no hard feelings afterward.
Carcajou pulled his long, curved claws through his whiskers reflectively.
What's the use of wrangling like this? We're as silly as a lot of men. Last winter when I was down at Grand Rapids I sat up on the roof of a shack listening to those two-legged creatures squabbling. They were all arguing fiercely about the different ways of getting to heaven. According to each one he was on the right road, and the rest were all wrong.
fresh meat. But it was stupid, for I gathered from what they said that the one way to get there was to be good, only each had a different way.
What place did you say? Queried the Jay.
Grand Rapids.
No, no. The place they all wanted to go to.
Heaven.
Where's that?
I don't know, and you needn't bother, for the men said it was a place for the good, only.
Beaver's fat sides fairly shook as he chuckled delightedly over the snub Carcajou had given Jack.
Ha, ha. Roared Bear, sweet berries. But humpback is too many for you, Bertie, and the woods echoed with his laughter.
Rats. Screamed the Jay, that's the subject under discussion. Our friend wanders from his theme trying to be personal.
Oh, nobody's personal here, sighed Lynx. I'm a slink, but that doesn't count.
Yes, talking of rats, recommenced Carcajou, like Lynx, I admire our busy little brother, Beaver, though I never ate one in my life.
Pew did. Chirruped the bird voice from over their heads.
Though I never ate one, solemnly repeated Wolverine, but if Umisk won't do for king, there is no use discussing Wachusk's chances. He is all Troweltail's failings, without his great wisdom, and even can't build a decent house, though he lives in one. Half the time he hasn't anything to eat for his family, you'll see him skirmishing about winter or summer, eating roots, or, like our friends Mink and Otter, chasing fish. Anyway, I get tired of that horrible odor of musk always. His house smells as bad as a trapper's shack with piles of fur in it. I hate people who use musk, it shows bad taste, and to carry a little bag of it around with one all the time it's detestable.
You should take a trip to the Barren Lands, my fastidious friend, as I did once, interposed Muswa, and get a whiff of the musk ox.
Much fodder. It turned my stomach.
You took too much of it, old blubbernose, yelled Jay, fiendishly. Wolverine hasn't got a nose like the head of a sturgeon fish.
Anyway, you're out of it, Mr. Rat. If the lieutenant says you're not fit for king, why you're not, I must say I'm glad of it.
There are still the two cousins, Otter, and Mink, said Carcajou.
Fish thieves both of them, declared Whiskey Jack.
So is Fisher, only he hasn't nerve to go in the water after fish, he waits till man catches and dries them, then robs the cash. That's why they call him Fisher, they should name him Fish Stealer.
Look here, Jack, retorted Wolverine, last winter I heard Francois say that you stole even his soap.
I thought it was butter, chuckled Jay, it made me horribly sick. But their butter was so bad, I thought the soap was an extra good pat of it.
I may say, continued Carcajou, that these two cousins, Otter and Mink, like Muskrat, have too limited a knowledge for either to be chief of the boundaries. While they know all about streams and water powers, they'd be lost on land. Why, in deep snow, Nekeek with his short, little legs makes a track as though somebody had pulled a log along that wouldn't do.
I don't want to be king. Declared Otter.
Nor I. Added Mink. And we don't want you, so that settles it, all agreed. Cried Whiskey Jack, gleefully. Nothing like having peace and harmony in the meeting. It always comes to the same thing, people's names are put up, they're blackguarded and abused, and in the end nobody's fit for the billet but Black Fox, and Carcajou, of course, is his lieutenant.
We have now considered everybody's claims, began Carcajou.
You've modestly forgotten yourself, interrupted Whiskey Jack. You'd make a fine, fat, portly ruler.
No, I withdraw in favor of Black Fox, and we won't even mention your name. Black Fox has been a good king, he has saved many of us from a trap, besides, he wears the royal robe. Look at him. His mother and all his brothers and sisters are red, except Stripes, the baby, who is a cross. Does that not show that he has been selected for royal honors? Among ourselves each one is like his brother, there is little difference. The minks are alike, the otter are alike, the wolves are alike, all are alike, except, of course, that one may be a little larger or a little darker than the other. Look at the king's magnificent robe, blacker than Fisher's coat, and the silver tip of the white guard hairs make it more beautiful than any of our jackets.
It's just lovely. Purred Pooh, with a fine sycophantic touch.
I'm glad I haven't a coat like that, sang out Jay, his majesty will be assassinated someday for it.
Do you fellas know what he's worth to the trappers? Do any of you know your market value?
I thought not, let me tell you.
For the sake of a mild winter, don't not just now, pleaded Carcajou. Let us settle this business of the king first, then you can all spin yarns.
Yes, we're wasting time, declared Umisk. I've got work to do on my house, so let us select a chief, by all means. There's Coyote, and Wapoos, and Seacock the Skunk, who have not yet been mentioned. But each of these, dreading Jack's sharp tongue, hastily asserted they were not in the campaign as candidates.
"Well, then," asked Karkaju, "are you all agreed to a Black Fox as leader until the fullness of another year?"
"I'm satisfied," said Bear, gruffly.
"It's an honor to have him," ventured Pew the Lynx.
"He's a good enough king," declared Nekik the Otter.
"I'm agreed," exclaimed Beaver. "I want to get home to my work."
"Long live the king," barked Blue Wolf.
"Long live the king," repeated Mink, and Fisher, and the rest of them in chorus.
"Now that's settled," announced Wolverine.
"Thank you, comrades," said Black Fox. "You honor me. I will try to be just, and look after you carefully. May I have Wolverine as lieutenant again?"
They all agreed to this, the value of their fur.
"Now that's serious business enough for one day," declared the king. "Jack, you may tell us about the fur, and perhaps some of the others also have interesting tales to relate."
Whiskey Jack hopped down from his perch, and strutted proudly about in the circle.
"Mink," he began, snapping his beak to clear his throat, "you can chase a silly, addle-headed fish into the mud and eat him, but you don't know the price of your own coat. Listen. The Black King's jacket is worth more than your fur and all the others put together. I heard the factor at Wapiskaw tell his clerk about it last winter when I dined with him."
"You mean when you dined with the trained dogs," sneered Pew.
"You'll dine with them someday, and their stomachs will be fuller than yours," retorted the bird.
"Mink, your pelt is worth a dollar and a half three skins, as the company men say when they are trading with the Indians, for a skin means 50 cents. You wood dwellers didn't know that, I suppose."
"What do they sell my coat for?" queried Beaver.
$6 12 skins, for a prime, dark one. Kit Beaver, that's one of your babies, Old Trowel Tail, sells for 50 cents or is given away. You, Fisher, and you, Otter, are nip and tuck $8 or $10, according to whether your fur is black or of a dirty coffee color. But there's Pooh, he's got a hide as big as a blanket, and it sells for only $2. Do you know what they do with your skin, Slink? They line long cloaks for the white wives with it, because it's soft and warm, also cheap and nasty. He, old feather bed fur.
Now, Wapistan, the marten, they call a little gentleman. It's wonderful how he has grown in their affections, though.
Why, I remember, 5 years ago the company was paying only 3 skins for prime marten, and what do you suppose your hide sells for now, wee brother?
Please don't, pleaded Martin, it's a painful subject. I wish they couldn't sell it at all. I'm almost afraid to touch anything to eat. There's sure to be a trap underneath. The other day I saw a nice, fat white fish head, and thought Mink had left a bite for me, but when I reached for it, bang! Went a pair of steel jaws, scraping my very nose. Fat fish. It was a close shave. I'm trembling yet, the jagged teeth looked so viciously cruel. If my leg had got in them, I know what I should have had to do.
So do I, asserted Jack.
What would he have done? Babbler, you who know all things, asked Lynx.
Died, solemnly croaked Jay.
I should have had to cut off my leg, as a cousin of mine did, declared Wapistan. He's still alive, but we all help him get a living now. I wish my skin was as cheap as muskrat's.
Oh, bless us. He's only worth 15 cents, remonstrated Jack. His wool is but used for lining put on the inside of men's big coats where it won't show. But your fur, dear Pussy Martin, is worth $8, think of that. Of course that's for a prime pelt. That brother of yours, sitting over there with the faded yellow jacket, wouldn't fetch more than 3 or 4 at the outside, but I'll give you 7 for yours now, and chance it shouldn't wonder if you'd fetch 12 when they skin you, for your coat is nice and black.
I suppose there's no price on your hide, whined Lynx. It's nice to be of no value in the world, isn't it?
There's always a price on brains, but that doesn't interest you, silly, does it? You're not in the market. Your understanding runs to a fine discrimination in perfumes' prominent odors, like castoreum, or dead fish. If you were a man, you'd have been a hairdresser.
Musqua, your pelt's a useful one, still it doesn't sell for a very great figure. Last year at Wapiskaw I saw pictures on the factor's walls of men they call soldiers, and they had the queerest, great, tall head covers, made from the skins of cousins of yours. And the factor also had a bear pelt on the floor, which he said was a good one. Worth $20, that's your value dead, $20.
Musqua's shaggy shirt is good, but they scrape the hair off and make moccasins of the leather. Think of that, weed eater, perhaps next year the trappers will be walking around in your hide, killing your brother, or your daddy, or some other big-nosed, spindle-legged member of your family. The homeliest man in the whole Chippewa tribe they have named the Moose,
And he's the ugliest creature I ever saw. You'd be ashamed of him. He's even ashamed of himself.
What's the hide worth? Asked Karkajou.
$7 the factor pays in trade, which is another name for robbery, but I think it's dear at that price, with no hair on, for it is tanned. Of course the squaws make the skin into leather. You wouldn't believe, though, that they'd ever be able to skin bushy tail, would you?
What?
The skunk? Cried Lynx. Haven't the men any noses?
Not like yours, Slink, but they take his pelt right enough, and the white stripes down his back that he's so proud of are dyed, and these men, who are full of lies, sell it as some kind of sable. And Martin, too, they sell him as sable Canadian sable.
I'm sure we are all enjoying this, suggested Black King, sarcastically.
Yes, brothers, assented Whiskey Jack, Black Fox's silver hide is worth more than all the rest put together. Sometimes it fetches $500 underscore.
Oh! Exclaimed Otter, enviously, is that true, Jack?
It is, bandy legs I always speak the truth, but it is only a fad. A tribe of men called Russians buy silver fox, it is said they have a lot of money, but, like Pooh, little brains. For my part, I'd rather have feathers, they don't rub off, and are nicer in every way.
Do you know who likes your coat, Karkajou?
The Russians. Piped Mink, like a little schoolboy.
Stupid fish eater. Bigger fools than the Russians buy Wolverine the Eskimo, who live away down at the mouth of a big river that runs to the icebergs.
What are icebergs, brother? Asked Mink.
Pieces of ice, answered Jack. Now you know everything, go and catch a goldeye for your supper.
Goldeye don't come up the creeks, you ignorant bird, retorted Sakwaso.
I wish they did, though, one can see their big, yellow eyes so far in the water they're easily caught.
Suckers are more useful, chimed in Fisher, when they crowd the river banks in autumn, eating those black water bugs, I get fat, and hardly wet a foot, I hate the water, but I do like a plump, juicy sucker.
Not to be compared to a goldeye or dorey, objected Mink, they're too soft and flabby.
Fish, fish, fish. Always about fish, or something to eat, with you water rats, interrupted Karkajou, disgustedly.
Do let us get back to the subject. Do you know what the men say of our Black King, comrades?
They call him the devil. Declared Jay.
No they don't, objected Karkajou, they aver he's Visihoshak, the great Indian god, who could change himself into animals that's what they think. You all know Francois, the French half-breed, who trapped at Hay River last winter.
He killed my first cousin, sighed Martin.
I lost a son by him poisoned, moaned Black King's mother, the Red Widow, who had been sitting quietly during the meeting watching with maternal pride the form of her son.
Yes, he tried to catch me, boasted Karkajou, but I outwitted him, and threw a No. 4 steel trap in the river. He had a fight with a Chippewa Indian over it, blamed him for the theft.
Oh, I enjoyed that. I was hidden under a spruce log, and watched Francois pummel the Indian until he ran away. I don't understand much French, but the half-breed used awful language. I wish they'd always fight amongst themselves.
Why didn't the Chippewa squeeze Francois till he was dead?
That's what I should have done, growled Musqua. Do you remember Nichimus, the Cree half-breed, who always keeps his hat tied on with a handkerchief?
I saw him once, declared Black Fox.
Well, he tried to shoot me, crept up close to a log I was lying behind, and poked his iron stick over it, thinking I was asleep. That was in the winter, I think it was the 2nd of February, but do you know, sometimes I get my dates mixed. One year I forgot in my sleep, and came out on the 1st to see what the weather was like.
Ha, ha. Fancy that, coming out on the 1st and thought it was the 2nd.
What has that got to do with Nichimus, old garrulity? Squeaked Whiskey Jack.
Musqua licked his gray nose apologetically for having wandered from the subject.
Well, as I have said, it was the 2nd of February. I had been lying up all winter in a tremendously snug nest in a little coulee that runs off Pembina River.
Hunger.
But I was weak when I came out that day.
I should think you would have been, sympathized the bird, mockingly.
I had pains, too, the hard red willow berries that I always eat before I lay up were griping me horribly, they always do that, they're my medicine, you know.
Musqua is getting old, interrupted Jay. He's garrulous, it's his pains and aches now.
Bear took no notice of the bird. I was tired and cross, the sun was nice and warm, and I lay down behind a log to rest a little. Suddenly there was a sound of the crisp hide of the snow cracking, and at first I thought it was something to eat coming, something for my hunger. I looked cautiously over the tree, and there was Nichimus trailing me, his snowshoe had cut through the crust, but it was too late to run, for that iron stick of his would have reached, so I lay still, pretending to be asleep. Nichimus crept up, oh, so cunningly. He didn't want to wake poor old Musqua, you see, not until he woke me with the bark of his iron stick. Talk about smells, Mr. Lynx. WFH. The breath of that when it coughs is worse than the smell of coyote. It's fairly blue in the air, it's so bad. Where was Nichimus all this time? Cried Jack, mockingly. Have patience, little Shruganapi, cheap bird. Nichimus saw my trail leading up to the log, but could not see it going away on the other side. I had just one eye cocked up where I could watch his face. Wheeze. It was a study. He'd raise one foot, shove it forward gently, put that big gut-woven shoe down slowly on the snow, and carry his body forward, then the other foot the same way, so as not to disturb me. Good, kind Nichimus. What a queer scent he gave to the air. Have any of you ever stepped on hot coals, and burned your foot? I have. Cried Blue Wolf. I had a fight with three trained dogs once, at Wapiskaw, when their masters were asleep. It was all over a miserable frozen white fish that even the dogs wouldn't eat. They were husky fighters. Wurrrr. We rolled over and over, and finally I fetched up in the campfire. Then you know what your paw smelled like when the coals scorched it, and that is just the nasty scent that came down the air from Nichimus like burnt skin. I could have nosed him a mile away had he been upwind, but he wasn't at first. When Nichimus got to the big log, he reached his yellow face over, with the iron stick in line with his nose, and I saw murder in his eyes, so I just took one swipe at the top of his head with my right paw and scalped him clean. Woo-oo-oo-oo-f-f. But he yelled. The iron stick barked as he went head first into the snow, and its hot breath scorched my arm underneath where there's little hair, but the round iron thing it spits out didn't touch me. I gave Nichimus a squeeze, threw him down, and went away. I was mad enough to have slain him, but I'm glad I didn't. It's not good to kill a man. You see, I was cross, he added, apologetically, and my head ached from living in that stuffy hole all winter. Didn't it hurt your paw?